we return tonight to Psalm 119, and we arrived at verse 17. Psalm 119, and we've arrived at verse 17. Well, we're going to read from verse 17 down through the third part of this psalm, down to verse 24. Psalm 119, verse 17, down to verse 24. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, tonight we come to verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Dear congregation, view here tonight God's humble servant sincerely praying that God in a bountiful way would grant him life, preserve him in the way, and help him to keep God's word, which was his delight. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. As we note in this first third section of this psalm, there were certain trials that stood in the way of David at the present time, as he sojourned here upon earth. Just note some verses here. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. He had learned again by experience that he was a stranger. He did not belong here upon earth. There were trials in his way. There was trials he was facing at the present time. Look down at verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. There were his enemies who scorned him, who mocked him, who laughed at him. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. There were those in high places who spake against him. Well, on his journey he was facing many a trial. Well, he looks up. He looks to the Lord that the Lord would come and deal bountifully for him. Now listen to Spurgeon as he makes a few comments on these words. In this section, the trials of the way appear to be manifest to the psalmist's mind, and he prays accordingly for the help which will meet his case. As in the last 8 verses he prayed as a youth newly come into the world, so here he pleads as a servant and a pilgrim, who groanly finds himself to be a stranger in an enemy's country. He appeals to God alone, and his prayer is specially directed and personal. He's looking to the Lord. He's a pilgrim. And dear brethren, we are pilgrims. We don't belong here. And can I just pause here? It's good when the Lord reminds us that we don't belong here. We mustn't get too settled down. As many have said, we must keep the tent pegs loose. We're strangers and pilgrims. Our home is in heaven. Our long home. Keep an eye on that, dear brethren. Well, on our journey, we have trials before us, as was the case for the psalmist. Well, look up, look to the Lord, as David does here, and pray, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Dear brethren, the Lord will answer our prayers. He will help, he will deal bountifully. In Psalm 13, verse 6, we read, I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He deals in such a way, in a gracious way, in a merciful way, which is a cause of great thanksgiving. And as we reflect tonight upon the Lord's bountiful dealings with us, let's raise our Ebenezer. Let's be thankful to him. And in light of the past, pray earnestly that the Lord would be bountiful to us again tomorrow morning. For as we shall learn again tonight, we cannot even hope of rising up in the morning without the Lord's bountiful dealings towards us. Oh, to live more in viewing God, and that we need him every hour. Used to be some words years ago written, I need thee every hour. Oh, that every hour we would reflect, we so need the Lord. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. You see there the psalmist, he makes known to the Lord his utter dependence he has upon him, that I may live, that I might live another day, another hour, another moment. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Well, let's come directly to these words now and consider, first of all, God's humble servant. Secondly, God's bountiful dealings. And thirdly, God's help received. God's humble servant, God's bountiful dealings, God's help received. Well, first of all then, God's humble servant. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. He humbly makes this request, because he knows that he so needs the Lord. He cannot go one more hour, one more day without the Lord. He looks to the Lord and he humbly prays. Well, we consider God's humble servant. What does he say? Deal bountifully with thy servant. David was not his own. He belonged to the Lord. He was God's servant. Now in his life there was a particular occasion when he so let the Lord down, that being when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was God's anointed, God's chosen servant, yet he failed the Lord, he sinned against him. Now one may not have committed adultery in a physical way like David did, yet we can fail the Lord and let him down. We are his servants, but we can let him down. How we need to seek his favour and fatherly forgiveness, and earnestly pray for it. You know, we often think of those words, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins. And I begin with myself, it's so easy to say those words, and not to truly seek fatherly forgiveness. How we need to truly seek fatherly forgiveness. We need to be earnest with the Lord. Remember those words in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Blot them out. Verse 2 of Psalm 51. Wash me freely from mine iniquity and cleanse me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Cleanse me. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The psalmist knew it. And he pleads that the Lord pleads for forgiveness before the Lord. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. I so want to be forgiven. I so want to be covered. I so want to know that fatherly forgiveness. How we need to be earnest with the Lord. We can let the Lord down. We can wander as his sheep. Oh, that God would quickly and in a gracious way seek and restore us at such times. This particular psalm concludes with these words. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He had strayed. Seek thy servant. Now, despite our failings, we are God's servants. Despite David's failings, he was God's servant. We are not to treat sin lightly, but let's remember, we are God's servants. We're not our own. We belong to a heavenly master. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Now just note these words again. Thy servant, how blessed and privileged we are that we are God's servants. For those who are not God's servants are servants of sin and under the tyrant Satan. How blessed we are to be able to say these words. Deal bountifully with thy servant. It's a wonderful thing to be able to pray that the Lord would in a gracious way help us again. What a blessing that the Lord belongs to us. And he is our master. Oh, to focus on it tonight. He is our master. We belong to him. We were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, as God's servants, let's glorify him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to be so glorifying God. Now, it's interesting there, isn't it? Do you note those words? You were bought with a price. We're to consider the precious blood of Jesus. And we're to glorify God in our bodies as well as in our spirit. Both. Not just the soul. But in our bodies. We are to glorify God. What a subject that is. We're to glorify God in the way we walk. We're to glorify God in the way we eat. As the apostle makes plain. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which are God's. There's so much here. Oh, that we would think of Calvary before we walk down the street. Oh, that we would think of Calvary before we sit down in the evening. Oh, what a subject this is. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. We are his servants. What a privilege to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's glorify him. And let us remember that we are his servants. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Yes, one may have an employer or a master. Ephesians 6 verse 5. But dear brethren, God is our master over all. We belong to him. He rules over us. You recall in the parable of the nobleman. In Luke 19, verse 14, we read this, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not. And many say it today, but dear brethren, he reigns over us. And he reigns in our heart. Through grace we have been made willing. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Christ reigns over us. And how blessed we are. He reigns over us. How I fail him. How like the psalmist we need to pray, seek thy servant. For I have gone astray like a lost sheep. But oh, take comfort. It is Christ that reigns over us. He has the rule. Through grace we have bowed the knee to King Jesus. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. How many people in your street bow the knee to King Jesus? How many people in this village? How many people in this country? How blessed we are. Through grace we have yielded. We have bowed the knee. We belong to him. We are his servants. Oh, to remember it. We are the servants of King Jesus. And we can earnestly pray to him. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We are his servants. Now before we were the servants of sin, being in bondage and under the tyrant Satan, we so lived for sin. We were the servants of sin. We were in slavery to sin and Satan. The apostle makes this plain in Romans 6 verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Then verse 17. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Then verse 22. Being now made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. We have been set free. What a glorious liberty there is in the gospel. No longer are we the servants to sin under the tyrant Satan. Yes, we can be tempted, and we find ourselves sinning, and we know sin is powerful, but we're not servants to sin anymore. No, we are servants to righteousness and servants to God. We've been set free. How blessed we are. Remember those words of Christ, and the Son shall set you free. We've been set free by Christ. There's this glorious liberty. And now we are servants of Him. He set us free, that we might live for Him and serve Him. We belong to Him, dear brethren. Now just pause. There is this liberty. We are God's servants. Yet though there is this liberty, we have not a license to do as we please, nor sin. No, we have no license. We're to glorify God in our body and in our soul. We're here for the Lord. And we're here to serve Him. Remember those words of Joshua. Joshua 24 verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me. I went to visit an elderly lady today, and as I sat down, I saw these words on the wall. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When I was going, I turned around, and I saw those words in a tapestry on her mantelpiece. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a blessing to be able to say it, and to be reminded often of it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our resolution. The Hebrew word obad means to serve, to worship, to be a servant. He's Joshua, the Lord's servant. He's going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was his resolution. Dear brethren, at this moment, pause. Talk to the Lord. And renew your resolution at this very moment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At times we feel we stray, and we let the Lord down. Renew your resolution. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're thinking of praying that the Lord will deal with us bountifully. Let's begin tonight by considering we are the Lord's servants, and service for Him is due. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deal bountifully with me, that I might live tomorrow. Why? To serve Thee, and to glorify Thee. And as I serve Thee, that I might keep Thy word. Why do we desire God's favour? That we would go on, chiefly, living for His glory, and serving Him. Yes, we need help. We need tokens of His favour, as we struggle on in life at times. But oh, what's the great concern here? That we might be able to live another day for God's glory and serve Him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a privilege to serve the Lord. But we know our total need of Him to serve Him again in the morning. And so we humbly pray, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Focus again, it was God's humble servant. He couldn't live a day without the Lord. There were his enemies. He needed help. There were those who mocked him, scorned him. He needed help. We need help. Do not we humbly pray, deal bountifully with thy servant. Not that we deserve God to deal bountifully, but we need him to deal bountifully for us. Dear brethren, let us always be at the feet of our Master. No higher. Always at the feet of our Master. Deal bountifully with thy servant. I need thee, Lord. I think often of those words. Without me ye can do nothing. But through Christ which strengtheneth me, I can do all things. You see there the key. See the source of strength. It's not ourselves. Left to ourselves we can do nothing for the Lord. But with the Lord's help we can serve. Let us always be at the feet of our Master. No higher. Always at the feet. Humbly recognizing our need. David said in Psalm 131 verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I behaved and quieted myself, as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Humility is vital in following the Lord. And dear brethren, it makes us more like Christ. For I am meek and lowly in heart, says Christ. It's vital. And what a blessing to be at the feet of Jesus. Knowing our total need of him. Knowing that we need him every hour. We need life for tomorrow that we might serve him. Well, humbly pray, dear brethren. And humbly serve him. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the elders of the church of Ephesus, said this. Acts 20 verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations. Which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. With all humility of mind. That's where it's to begin, dear brother. This humility in our mind. In our souls, that we then might serve the Lord and act in humility. For here then is God's humble servant. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Well, let's move on more briefly now. Secondly, God's bountiful dealings. God's bountiful dealings. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We have here this word bountifully. The Hebrew word is gomal, and at the root of the word it's very interesting. It is to treat a person, to treat a person, to benefit them, to bestow, to deal bountifully. Let's think of the root of the word is to treat a person. A husband may treat his wife, maybe an item of clothing. Maybe a ring, a special anniversary. And the husband goes and buys a ring. A meal out. A box of chocolates. They don't go miss in our home. A dad or a mum might treat their children. An ice cream. Grandparents are good at treating their grandchildren. How I used to like to go and see my grandparents. Used to go to one set of grandparents for tea. Cycle on to the next set of grandparents. And then go home to my mum for a cup tea. And they like to treat me well. Fill me up. To treat a person. We say it carefully. And we say it with reverence. How the Lord treats us so well. Deal bountifully. Treat me, Lord. We say it with reverence. Bestow a favour. Bestow a mercy upon me. Benefit me. To treat a person, to benefit, to bestow, to deal bountifully. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Now we know too, it's a prayer. We're praying that the Lord would treat, he would deal bountifully with us, that we might live another day, that we might be helped to serve him and keep his word. But let's just pause and reflect on the Lord's bountiful dealings. How he so benefited us so far. Consider he has given himself to us. He is our God. I am the Lord thy God. Before the Decalogue was given, there was an eye to the covenant of grace. I am the Lord thy God. How blessed we've been, and how blessed we are. God has given himself to us. The Son has been given. The Holy Spirit has been given, and he lives within. We've been given life. We've been given the promise of eternal life. Think of the bountiful dealings of the Lord, how he's benefited us. He's given himself to us. We have the Son. We have life. We have the Holy Spirit. We're so blessed, aren't we? We're favored. Let's open this up a little further. Consider the Lord's gracious and merciful dealings with us. What grace has been shown. What mercy. Blessings of grace. Blessings of mercy. Just think of grace. His electing grace. Chosen according to his grace. What a blessing. Saving grace. For by grace are you saved. And then consider supporting grace. What a bountiful dealing that is. To be supported by the Lord. Preserving grace. Delivering grace. Still bountifully. David looks back. He considers the bountiful dealings of the Lord. And in light of them. He prays for a fresh benefit. Oh, what grace has been shown to us. Remember again those words of John Newton, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Consider the Lord's gracious dealings. Dealings that have so blessed us through his grace. The Lord has dealt bountifully with us in a gracious way. No shortage of his gracious benefits, and also his compassionate benefits. Psalm 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And the psalmist goes on in that psalm to think of the merciful dealings of the Lord towards him. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He has had pity on us again and again, and dealt bountifully. Psalm 13 verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He has. And in light of his bountiful dealings, we can pray. Deal bountifully with thy servant. What a rich supply of blessings he has in store. There's no shortage. What gifts he has yet still to give us. But here's David then. He's praying, deal bountifully with thy servant. Thou hast blessed me so much, and I am so thankful. But in a gracious and merciful way, bless me again. Thou hast given me life every day of this week. But if it be thy will, give me life on the morrow, that I might live for thee and serve thee. Give me life for another day. Keep me, preserve me. Help me that I might keep thy word and serve thee. We can look back. But oh, we need fresh supplies on the battlefield. So as these soldiers could continue, they needed fresh supplies. We are in enemy territory. There are those who mock us, who laugh at us, as we see later in the psalm. We need fresh supplies. And dear brethren, such is the storehouse. There is such fresh supplies awaiting us on the morrow. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. It may be life for another day or dying grace that we might die and go to be with Christ. Oh, let's keep our eye on the Lord. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Look to him. Preserve me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, come to the Lord in humility and humbly ask that he would bless you again. That he would bless you because of his grace. and that he would bless you because of the finished work of Christ. Humbly pray. Deal bountifully with thy servant, but also be in expectation. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. He's in expectation. Be in expectation that he will preserve you another day if it's according to his will, that you might be helped to keep, that you might be helped to live and serve the Lord. Oh, let's keep our eyes on him. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Psalm 115 verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He's been mindful of us. He's dealt with us in such a bountiful way. He will bless us. Be in expectation. Exercise faith when you pray these words. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Consider what he's done for you. Exercise faith and earnestly pray with expectation. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Well, let's be close. God's help received. God's help received. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. He's praying that the Lord would so bless him, would benefit him again, that he would live another day and that he would serve the Lord. But God's help was received because he did live another day. It wasn't for him. It wasn't the time of his departure yet. God helped him. God kept him. God preserved him. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And he received the help that he was asking for. Dear brethren, how wonderful it is we keep receiving from the Lord each and every day. We don't deserve to live another day. We don't deserve to have any gift. But the Lord keeps bestowing those gifts upon us. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live. You're breathing tonight, aren't you? You've gone through another day because of the bounty of the Lord. You're breathing. You've been kept today. How Satan has thought about you today. And you have many another enemy, but you've been kept today. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You've been kept by the power of God. What a bountiful blessing, dear brethren, to be kept by the power of God, safe in the hands of Jesus, and no one can pluck us from his hand. You've been kept, and he will keep you till the appointed time, that you might live for him and serve him. Remember again those words, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua knew further help to serve the Lord. And you will know further help to serve the Lord until your appointed time. And then you'll know further help in heaven to serve him there. He will answer your prayer. You humbly go to him like David. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. He will send you blessing. He will preserve you to the appointed time. He will help you to serve him. He will help you to keep his word. It's our delight. We thought at the beginning that David delighted in keeping the word. It is our delight, isn't it? Chiefly because it glorifies God, doesn't it? And then it benefits us and others. But in the keeping of the word, it glorifies God. He will answer your prayer. He will help you. Be in expectation. Think of the roots of the word again. To treat a person. Dear brethren, he will treat you again in the morning. He will treat you all the days of your life. And he will treat you in the last valley. And then you will be so overwhelmed at the one who has bestowed upon you many favours when you see him face to face. Amen.